Chapter 1. "All rise," the sergeant-at-arms bellowed. Emilia Cruz Encinos and the others in the courtroom got to their feet. The court-appointed lawyer, Hector Martinez Mora, smoothed the lapels of his tailored suit as he stood next to Emilia. A door opened in the wood-paneled wall behind the judge's bench. Emilia watched as a trio of judges, two men and one woman, climbed two steps and entered a bulletproof glass enclosure. The massive structure was mounted on a dais, decorated with the seal of Mexico. The snake writhed endlessly in the eagle's talon. The last judge bolted the door, effectively locking himself and his colleagues into a protective square bubble. The sergeant-at-arms locked a door near a workstation staffed by officers of the court. Half a dozen other uniformed officers closed and locked double doors at the rear of the courtroom, before taking up guard positions around the perimeter. Security cameras hung from the ceiling switched on with an electronic whine and swiveled into position, watching for danger. Emilia's heart thundered in her ears, louder than the indistinct murmurs of the judges and the swish of their robes. Of its own accord, her right thumb slid over the comforting ridge formed by the key in her skirt pocket. The thick glass threw a greenish tinge across the unsmiling faces of the judges. No nameplates or announcement identified them. In Mexico, for judges as well as cops, the secret of longevity was anonymity. "Please be seated," the female judge said. Her voice was faintly distorted by a microphone. Once again, chairs scraped against the tile floor. Martinez Mora, who'd let Emilia know from the start she should address him by the honorific avocat, as befitting a practicing criminal attorney, glanced at her as he pinched the creases in his trousers and sat. They were in the front row of seats, behind a long table. The courtroom was less than half full, with representatives from the Office of the Attorney General, a Mexican military contingent, officials from the Secretaría de Relaciones Exteriores, and a small delegation from the Embassy of the United States. Emilia gave the lawyer a taut nod in return as she settled into her chair and tucked her hands in her lap. Avocat Martinez was not there as her defense attorney, but as a legal guardian to ensure that documentation was properly compiled, affidavits pertaining to her character were filed, and Emilia answered questions as needed by the tribunal process. The center judge rapped a gavel. Emilia gave an involuntary start at the loud noise, terrified he was going to stand, point to her, and shout, "Liar!" "This tribunal is now in session to share preliminary findings," the judge announced to the courtroom, "regarding the escape of convicted criminal Diego Barrielos Luna while being transported by special operations personnel and law enforcement officers to Brownsville, Texas, in the Estados Unidos, under an extradition agreement between Mexico and Washington." Someone behind Emilia shifted restlessly, shoe leather scraping the floor. Otherwise, the room was silent with anticipation. "Over the past 6 weeks," the judge continued, "this tribunal has reviewed all available evidence. Detective Emilia Cruz Encinos of Acapulco, the lone survivor of the team transporting Señor Barrielos Luna, has made herself available for over 100 hours of testimony." That was the understatement of the century. The judge more accurately could have said that the combined gears of military fury, Mexican law, and the secret that could end her police career had ground Detective Emilia Cruz Encinos of Acapulco into emotional sawdust. After all, in Mexico, surviving a cartel ambush meant only one thing: collusion. The assumption of guilt was immediate. Emilia had practically been a prisoner at a military base near Mexico City during the tribunal's investigation, answering the same questions day after day.
"The primary phase of the tribunal has reached its conclusion." The judge looked up as if to reassure himself that he had everyone's full attention. "Detective Miguel Anaya Vargas of Reynosa, working alone, accepted significant funds from the Barrielos Luna organization in return for carrying a concealed tracking device while participating in the extradition convoy. This allowed Barrielos Luna's sicarios to pinpoint the convoy and mount an attack with armored vehicles and a helicopter armed with missiles. Detective Anaya activated the tracking device shortly after the extradition convoy bearing Barrielos Luna departed the Multifoco prison in the state of Michoacán. The failure of special operations personnel to discover the device's signal is under review." Emilia felt eyes boring into her.